Simon from the White, and we are sitting on a hovercraft in Southampton, unusually, and we're with
Peter Mulhern. I'm the chief pilot with Hover Travel. Been operating hovercraft for about 25 years now, and today we've been looking at the new design, which I've been very closely involved in.
Yeah, I mean, it's been fantastic. Well, the sort of won the trip over the novelty of coming, stopping off at Southsea, and then let's go to Southampton.
Yeah,
and then now, having seen the craft, they're quite different.
They are quite different. I mean, there were some fundamental changes we wanted to make to the craft that new technology and new experiences allowed us to do. One of the fundamental differences is that we will be going from four engines to two engines, which will have a dramatic effect on the noise levels, particularly inside the craft, and relatively having larger propellers as well, which will therefore be slower, so the external noise levels will be dramatically reduced as well. This is something, well, one of the things we're quite keen to do is to open up hovercrafts to other operators around the world, and these are some of the key areas they look at.
So all the experience and thinking that you've had over the years.
Yeah, we've done some trials with other different types of crafts, the craft that were built for the Indian Coast Guard. We did some tests with those and made some dramatic improvements to manoeuvrability of the craft, controllability. And we also looked at the fuel consumption and servicing costs as well, which, again, having half as many engines is obviously naturally going to make a big difference.
But it's not going to halve the fuel consumption because they're bigger blades, they need more pushing?
No, I mean, the size of the craft is very similar to what we currently operate. But they say modern engines now are very much more efficient. You know, it's one of the areas where there have been a lot of development going on in the background over the years, you know, since the AP-188s were originally designed. So the engines that are available now give us considerably more options in terms of both noise, fuel consumption, efficiency, and so on. So
that point about the inside noise, that the noise that's in here, is that vibration? I mean, there's the vibration of the engine, but also the bodywork as well.
On the AP-188, you've got separate lift engines, and those are either side of the passenger cabin, and they are running at a constant level. On the new craft, you simply won't have those. The lift will be generated by the engines at the back of the craft. And so and we know from some of the other twin-engine craft we've looked at, there will be a dramatic difference in the noise levels.
Right.
So,
because you don't have a big, noisy, vibrating thing next to your ears on the way over.
No, that's right. Okay. So doing interviews on the new craft will be a lot easier.
What's again?
Doing interviews on the new craft will be a lot more easier.
Less background, sir.
Another key thing we identified for our particular route was the importance of the 5-minute turnaround time to keep the craft on time.
I mean, externally, that'll be the most radical thing, won't it? The entrances.
Yeah, so we've got these front opening doors that are effectively self-contained ramps, and so we won't need to put steps on. The luggage will be able to go inside the craft, and things like bicycles, wheelchairs, large suitcases, and so on. Even maybe trolleys could go inside the craft, so that it gives us a lot of flexibility, and also it protects that 5-minute turnaround time that's is very important to us.
But still there'll be loading of luggage at the back, is that right? Or
no, we're very keen to do away with that. It's very labour intensive, it takes time, it can slow everything down, and so we're trying to keep everything to the front of the craft.
So that, the trolleys will come into the front, will they?
Yeah, we're looking at smaller trolleys similar to the ones that the Royal Mail use.
Okay.
So we've done some experimenting with those.
Yeah.
Maybe that a number of those can actually go inside the craft.
And still with the flexibility of when it's festival time and there's huge amounts of bags.
Yes.
You can take seats out.
The type of seat we're looking at, reasonably quick release, so we can take seats out. We could potentially turn the craft into a freighter if we wanted to.
Right.
And that's something we're looking at, whether that's something we could do. Timetable a couple of freight runs in. Something with an idea we're toying with. But again,
I guess that's a modern business, isn't it? You need to have flexibility in what you're going to do.
Yes, I mean, this craft will give us, we can configure this craft as we need to on the day. So if we do need to take a couple of rows of seats out for luggage or mail, we can do that. And we can do that almost in our turnaround time, it'll be that quick.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah.
Now, I've got a couple of photos of you in the wooden mock-up that was
Yes.
Sitting in the seat of power.
Yes.
The pilot seat, the cockpit seat.
Yeah, I mean, the design and stage at the moment, we're starting to get down to that level of detail, and I'm obviously quite involved in the controls, the instrumentation. You know, the AP-188s were designed in the sort of early 80s, really, and things have been added on, GPS has been invented,
right.
All of these things have been added on over
the
years.
It's funny, isn't it? You sort of assume all these things these days.
Yeah, but they weren't there, you know, right. In 1980.
It's radar, I guess.
We've had radar, but... So it gives us the opportunity to start with a blank sheet of paper.
Mm.
But also, on the other flip side of that, we've got to fit a lot into a small space.
Right.
And it's got to be right for what we do. So that... the design is very much at that stage now where with this mock-up that we've built we can actually simulate the control cabin, work out where everything's going to fit, where everything's going to go, how we're going to operate it, and it may be that we actually use that once that mock-up is finalized, which I'm hoping to get done this week. But it may be that we can then use that as a training aid.
Right.
So pilots coming over can actually see and get used to the layout.
Take a pause while the announcement goes on. So that was a brief interlude with the announcement there. You got printouts of the instruments and, I guess, the controls.
Yes.
So you're literally just sort of picking printups out.
It's literally a jigsaw puzzle. How do you fit everything in? We're literally doing it with Blue Tack at the moment, working out. We're very close to finalising that now, getting that final design that can then go ahead into production.
I mean, for you, it must be a dream come true to... Do you want to design a hovercraft?
I've put a lot into this, and a lot of my ideas have been put into this, and I'm now at that stage where I'm starting to feel that responsibility. They're actually building it, what's reassuring is, as I say, we've taken some of the best ideas of current designs, you know, the successful craft. We've taken a lot of those ideas that we know work and put it into one craft, and looking forward to seeing the results now.
Right. Yeah. And so the loading is obviously very important. What other key considerations did you have for the design then? Fuel economy, flexibility.
Yeah, the noise.
That's going to allow you to run later, do you think, perhaps?
It does open up the possibility of running later or early. I mean, this is something that's already been discussed.
Right.
And obviously, if the fuel consumption proves as good as we hope, again, that makes that more viable.
Right.
That's
interesting, but so you need less passengers to make it a viable route.
Yes, basically. I mean, for example, if we can do it with 20% less fuel,
right?
Again, it makes that whole process a lot more attractive.
Yeah.
So another key thing for our business at Hover Travel is, you know, the majority of our revenue, if you like, is generated by tourism.
Yeah.
So at the very early stage, I'd say to them, it's got to be a good-looking craft.
Right.
It's got to be something people want to travel on. You know, it's got to be sexy.
Yeah.
And so, again, that's something.
So
that's
you go faster stripes down the side.
The amount of business we get, people, particularly in South Sea, who just turn up and go, "Oh, a hovercraft.
Right.
Should we go for a ride?" And you know, that's very important.
That's
to
mad.
Us.
That's really surprising.
It is. We wanted to design a craft that people would want to go on. That's very important for our business.
Right.
Yeah. So.
And my understanding is that this is the route between Ryde and South Sea is the only commercial service in Europe. Is that right?
I think, yes. I think it's the only one regular scheduled service that really we know of in the world.
Yeah.
At the current time. And again, this is something we're very much aware of. We're building a craft that will hopefully make other routes viable. I've been to various places around the world and looked at potential routes for other operators, and so a lot of the ideas gleaned from that have gone into this new design as well. You know, what's important to other people, what they look for, what their expectations are, and trying to build as much of that into this craft as possible. Because it, you know, to secure the future for the hovercraft industry, particularly the passenger industry, is being part of a wider community.
Right.
And the more of these craft we can build, the better it'll be for hover travel as well. Yeah.
Actually, there's one thing I want to take you back to on the design side. There was the electric fan on the top.
Yeah.
So using an electric one
hovercraft use bow thrusters as part of the control system. There is a general.
That's the side-to-side movement, isn't it?
Yeah, so they side-to-side and also banking into turns, and that's generated by, that power is generated by the lift engines constantly. Obviously, when you take away the lift engines and just go to two engines, you lose that option.
Right,
so we're looking at alternatives.
Right.
Another area, you know, the electric motors have come a long way in the last 20 years. So we were looking at an electrically driven, yes.
Right.
And so what the amount of power you can generate with an electric motor now opens up the possibility that we can have electrically driven bow thrusters.
So, I mean, you're generating the power at the back anyway, so why not have the electricity used?
Yes, effectively they will be electrically driven, whereas now they're direct drive.
Yeah.
But the beauty of having an electrical system is you can actually switch it off when you don't need it. So in terms of noise,
yeah,
that will be switched off maybe 80-90% of the time.
Right.
And
right,
it's just, it will kick in automatically as soon as you move the controls.
Okay.
So if right, you turn, it'll be on a joystick as soon,
yeah,
as you put
so
in
it
in.
Will it be sort of fly-by-wire?
Yeah, very
yeah,
much so.
Okay.
Yeah, it's, I mean, and that is the norm now.
Yeah.
There'll be no cables or wire, you know, it'll actually be
yeah,
electrically
right,
driven.
Right.
Yeah.
But, excellent.
Yeah.
Well, look, congratulations on your dream coming this far.
Yes.
And look
yeah,
forward to it. It's 2016 that is expected.
2016, hopefully early 2016, we're hoping to start carrying passengers.
Yeah, well, I guess the sooner you can do it, the quicker you can start saving money on fuel as well.
Well, it's absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. And yeah, so 2015 we'll be finalising the build, doing the initial trials, tests and trials, then doing a more extensive trials program leading into the training program. Because of the fundamental differences in the craft, we'll have a full
right,
training program for pilots and crew.
Yeah.
And then hopefully get that done by Christmas, if all goes well. And then, well, there'll be a slight overlap where we still have the old craft, because there's always little teething
yeah,
problems that need
course,
to be ironed
yeah,
out.
Yeah.
And so...
So you, I guess, you know when you're saying about the wooden mock-up, that could
yeah,
be used for training. You're going to have sort of a hovercraft simulator with screens put in where the window...
They may actually use that to actually put the actual instrumentation in so that they can then transfer that into the actual craft. And again,
for training, I was thinking.
Yeah, for training, we could use it for familiarisation. But, of course, the beauty of having that is if we do get other operators interested, it's something we can show them.
Okay.
If they want to do it, use it for different
right,
roles, we can rearrange that,
yeah,
redesign that, see what
right,
can be fitted in there.
The beauty of Velcro.
Exactly, yes. Yeah, it's all plywood and blue tack, and so,
right, right,
you know, it means you can build a 3D model, effectively.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Very good. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for your time.
No, pleasure.